Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are, or you wouldn't be here. So let's get on with the show. Here's Brad.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. Right, round 9 in the bank for the WNBL. Some great games. And round 12 in the bank for the NBL. Some amazing overtime games. Botond, how are you, my friend? How you going, mate? All right. See, I didn't do it this time.
Not bad, Brettles. Going okay. really impressed with what happened with the particularly in the women's round, but a couple of overtime games and Melbourne United on the wrong end of both of them.
Yeah.
I think we talked last week about Sydney. You couldn't see Sydney losing both times. I couldn't see Sydney winning both times, but they did. And to go into Perth and flog them by 29 was a very impressive. Once again, they've now beaten Perth in Perth. They've beaten Adelaide in Adelaide. They've beaten Melbourne in Melbourne. So if you stack up their Sydney Kings' best results, they're excellent, except when you stack them against losing to Tasmania, losing to Tasmania, losing to New Zealand, you know. That's where my trust in them is sort of, it hovers between belief and disbelief.
I want to mention something, and I'm going to give you credit for this. And yes, listeners, don't fall off your chair. I'm giving Body a bit of credit.
There was something I fall off mine.
Yeah, there's something that you and I have chatted about, you know, over time, that you've made a really good analogy where when the Kings have got time to get prepared. And I know being part of a Gorge camp, like that is the nuts and bolts because it gives you time. This is how we're going to defend. This is what we're going to do. And you've noticed something there.
Yeah, yeah. And they go, when they go in with that sort of purpose, you know, you don't get the Xavier Cooks losing his mind or Bull Quog doing stupid fouls. That doesn't happen. They play a disciplined version of themselves. Having Matthew Dellavedova back didn't hurt either.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the disciplined Kings. And then you get the other version, which is the one you, for them to be successful at the business end, they need to get rid of that persona.
Okay, all right, let's go to WNBL first.
Yeah, let's.
Okay, as we normally do, but it was just something that I thought was good. Let's just talk very briefly. There was four games played that we're going to talk about. I know there's five on the weekend, but by the time this comes out. So the Caps did an absolute weapon on the Flyers. Bendigo beat Geelong, in Geelong, I should say. Adelaide, oh, Body, we've got to talk about this. Not only beat Sydney, thumped Sydney at home, which, I mean, I picked Sydney. I just thought game two... for a coach, they went to Townsville, got flogged coming home. I'm thinking, here you go. But the game of the round and the grand final series to be, Perth Lynx, whoa, up there in Townsville. Talk to me, mate.
It was a terrific game all the way, but that last quarter, it's almost as though the Lynx just kind of elevated and said, okay, this is who we are now with Han Ju, who goes for 28 points, 13 rebounds, 4 blocks. This is who we are with this person in our team. I've got to tell you, too, that Alex Cibatoni's offensive output has picked up a lot, too, since Han Ju got there. This is her second 21-point game. She was 9 of 11 from the floor. So she's become a bit more of a threat than she has been in the past. She's been a facilitator in the past.
Brilliant.
And so just the way they... I thought Townsville early going really had their measure. I thought, okay, this is going to be a very even one right down to the wire. But as the game wore on, geez, the last quarter, they just went away from them.
Well, it was 49 all at halftime, Body.
Yeah.
Right. So you're right in what you're saying. And then it was a 25-19. And then, as you said, a 23-13 in the fourth quarter. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, like, Alex is playing phenomenal. I love watching her play. But I also noticed... I'm not a huge plus minus, but when there's something that stands out, you've got to mention it. Han Ju plus 35 in her 32 minutes.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
I mean, like, you know, when you see 10 and 12, you're like, okay, that can have a run in here and some, but plus 35 in 32 minutes. That just tells me that they just can't lose with her.
All right, question without notice. Is she the best import we've had in this league?
Oh, yeah. Women, you're talking about,
of course.
Yeah. I mean, I probably shouldn't say that so quickly without thinking more, but I can't remember an import. I can think of Australians, obviously. We're not going there, like Lauren, you know. But when I think of imports, I can't even put anyone close. But to be fair as well, how many games? Are we talking 3 now or 4, whatever it is? It's too early.
She's absolutely dominating. It's an impact import. That's what we're talking about, an impact import.
Yeah. It's not too early to say the best ever, but yes, the best I've ever seen, yes.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Do you agree? You know better than me.
No, absolutely. I've been giving it a lot of thought, actually, and she stands out because she's not just...
Who would you go as number 2 then?
I'd have to give that a lot more thought because we can go back all the way to Regina days, which is back in the early days of the league. So there's a
See,
lot of
this is
people
where
to
it's hard. Like,
consider.
you know, I don't want to cross over the men, but when you talk about men, you got that Bryce Cotton in there, but Leroy, you know what I mean? It's just so obvious. Like, and when you talk about the greatest Australian player, it's Lauren Jackson in the women. But when you talk about an import, it doesn't pick up like it does for a Han Zhu, where you just look at it and go, wow. Just wow. And you know what? The other thing, which is just so noticeable, and you at a really good point there about Alex Gibbetoni as well, it's not what she's doing for her and the team, it's what she's doing for the others. Like you said, Alex is shooting at 78%. You know, like, wow. You know, Ali Wilson, 19 points. I mean, it's just, you know, and Amy Atwell doing well, and Annalee Maley. I mean, she just, you know, a walking rebounder, 15 rebounds, six offensive. Man, I mean, right now, buddy, no one's going to beat Perth, are they?
What I think Townsville will need to come up with a strategy,
He's got a
and
good
I mean
coach. He's good.
because they were in that
She
game for
Shannon's
three
good.
quarters of that game, so I don't think Perth are as far off Townsville as that sort of final 16-point margin suggests. All right, I think there's plenty of time for them to sort of work out how to go about playing it. Whether you play her with a zone, whether you double her every time she gets it, and what your rotations look. They've got time to sort it out. But I'll tell you this: you said it last week. Whoever's finishing third and fourth, and that's probably going to be, I'm looking at Bendigo and now Canberra. Canberra's the one that I think has
Great win.
emerged.
Great win against the Flyers, but
But
talk to
I
me, yeah.
mean, they're basically making up the numbers because we're heading for Perth will beat whoever they play in a series, in a semi-final series, and so will Townsville. So I
But
mean,
hang
but I
on,
do think
sorry.
Canberra's made they're the ones that have put their hands up.
Yeah, I was going to say. So obviously, when I look at the ladder, you know, you got Adelaide, who had four wins, but then you go, you know, Flyers, Geelong, Sydney, three wins each. I'm waiting for Geelong. It doesn't seem to be coming. So I'm
No.
thinking to myself, I like Adelaide, but I mean, they played Sydney, who were woeful. I don't see. It's Canberra's to sort of lose, I guess, out on fourth
Yes.
spot.
The other one you sort of think maybe a chance is Southside, but I don't know. The Southside's a little bit too erratic, and that when you go into Canberra and get beaten by 26,
But
there's not a lot you can take away from that.
there's 17 rounds. We're only just finished, you know, what was it, round nine? So there's a lot to go still, you know,
Sure,
like, so,
but we're
yeah, so, but
halfway.
you're right in what you're saying. I agree. What I'm saying at is, if a South Side or a Geelong get on a roll, well, then we'll be sitting here going, yeah, they're going to get fourth. And right now, there's one win between them all, or two wins. So it makes sense. Talk to me about the Caps. I thought they were great.
Oh, yeah, I just like the way they're going about it at the moment. Zetina Akusa is a big factor for them. She's playing great basketball. You got Sarah Blitzhouse playing great basketball. You got Jade Melbourne controlling the situation. They got a good import. They got Tasia Morrell to come in and back up Zetina Akusa, who and Tasia has been a starter in this league. So it's all starting to come together. I caught up with Sarah earlier in the season, and she said that it was a very new group, and they weren't expecting to gel till about the fifth or sixth round. Well, here we are. She's right. It's all starting to come
Yeah, it's
together.
a good
And
analogy. I think that the biggest problem they've got at the moment is they've already got six losses. So they can't afford to drop too many because they've played 11 games, and that's
Yeah, but
six
have a look at the
losses.
others, Brad. Have a look at the others below them. They're
Yeah.
all in the same sort of boat,
Yeah, that's my
loss-wise.
point. Yeah, that you can't afford to drop many more. But no, very, very impressed. Geelong, look, I think I did pick Bendigo, sorry, I should, but what's really noticeable, I thought Shiloh Hill, you know, she's starting to find her feet, but had 26 points. But there's just, I don't know what it is with Geelong. They just don't seem to be sinking at all.
Look, they're missing a lot of shots. And basically, that's why Bendigo got away from them, not because of their defense being poor. It's just that they weren't rewarding themselves. Bear in mind, they were down 20 plus. They went on an 18-0 run to get back into that game. But you sort of go, well, if you can do that, then how did you dig that hole in the first
How'd you
place?
get it? Yeah, completely agree. Yeah, completely
So
agree.
I think I'm sort of starting to ease off Geelong. I think that loss column is getting a bit too heavy now.
I wanted to, you know, we love the coaching staff, and I'm just sort of, I'm just waiting. I don't know what it is. Yeah, and I don't know how much longer I can wait, if that's the right words. I don't mean it in a rude way. The one that did shock me for the round, I'm not expecting the Flames to make the four, but I thought, you know, they go up to Townsville, like I said earlier, Renee Garlop's first game, a lot of change, you don't expect that, but I thought they'd come back and I thought they'd give it one hell of a crack. And I thought they, you know, Adelaide were ready for the riping. Man, Adelaide came in and just went bang. That second and third quarter was 57-33.
You've got Dallas Lockbridge playing, you know, the out of her skull, 23 points. You got the import.
Sanya Fegan.
She's gone for 23, and Steph Talbot's gone for close to a triple double. So you're sort of going,
Sanya as well, to add to that, 10 points, 5 assists. Oh, sorry, 10 rebounds, 5 assists.
Great game. You're sort of going, okay, that's good to
that's
see.
That's a great win for Adelaide, for a young team.
It really is.
And I thought Steph Talbot, that was one of the better games I've watched, that 11 and 7, nearly a triple-double.
Yeah.
But I just thought the composure, that's the Steph I remember playing for the Opals. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I'll lead you. Come here, guys. Okay, we'll give you this and that, but I got you back. And I thought that was one of her better games.
Seriously disappointed with Sydney.
Yeah.
Seriously disappointed. Yeah. That was a very poor performance.
Yeah, I don't... Where do they go from now? Like, where do they go?
NBL One East.
But, you know, I mean, they've got Townsville coming in next game.
I know.
A double header, mind you.
Yeah.
They're playing Townsville.
Townsville twice.
So one at home, one away. Man, they're not winning those two games. And Townsville are just coming off a bad loss against Perth.
Oh, they'll be fired up. And the first one is in Sydney. So they'll be fired up for that.
Yeah.
And then they go home and play Sydney at home. You're looking at two.
That's a tough heavy for Sydney in three games. Sorry, in four games, they have Townsville three times.
Yeah, that is a very poor draw, because if you have a player that's injured, say they do an ankle and they're out for 2 weeks, they miss all the games with Townsville. Well, you know what I mean? That's just
I agree.
Spread out better than that.
I don't get that one either. All right, let's start. We've spoken about the rounds. Just so everyone's listening, I know they follow it anyway. Bendigo at the moment are on top still at 10-2.
Bendigo.
Townsville second at 9-2.
Perth. Bendigo's on top.
Yeah, 10-2.
Wow, I didn't realize that, because I don't rate Bendigo alongside Townsville and Perth.
But don't forget, Bendigo had Tolo with all those wins, right?
Yeah, yeah,
so I know they won on the weekend, but they were unstoppable there for a little while. And Perth didn't have Han Zhu there for a little bit, but they're 8-3. Right, so they're fine. So then, as you said, Caps round the four out at 5-6.
Who's your player of the round?
My player of the round, Han Zhu, cannot go against her. She was phenomenal. 28-13, like you said before. Changes games, plus 35, changing shots. She is just a walking bucket.
Four blocks and changed probably another half a dozen.
Yeah. Yeah. Who was yours?
I'm with Sarah Blitzarves, not because she's related to me, but she played her 300th game. She's come in and she's played her 300th game after having a very serious knee injury that took her out for a year, after having extraordinary back surgery that took her out for over a year. Just come back and make it up to 300 games, where her mother, who was the great Karen Ogden, the MVP of the first couple of years of this league, she only played 130 games. And so she's actually topped her mum in terms of that.
Well, I know you can't say it because of who you are, but I can. We absolutely love Sarah. She's a bloody legend. I love watching her play.
I think everybody does. She's just a sweetheart.
She's just such a beautiful soul. And to watch her, well, I hate that you said that, because my best moment is Sarah Blitzarves. That 16 points in the first quarter just said to Southside, you're not in this game, see you later. And then she just controlled the whole thing by that first quarter. That was my best moment, because I know the history of what Sarah's been through. I know it hasn't been easy, and I love hearing you talk to her and proud. But then for me to see that 16 points in the first quarter, that's my best moment. Good on her.
Well, she had four threes in that 16, and she's gone 6 of 9 from the over threes over the game. She was outstanding. What about that's your best moment? Okay.
Yes.
My best moment, well, Hanju Alicia Froling, I read a very nice piece where Alicia Froling said in preparation for Hanju, she had to try and go back to the games where she had to play in the backyard against Harry and Sam.
Yeah,
and had
right.
to defend
Makes sense.
Them, you know, because they're these big monster. So that was she was going to tap into that. She did a very nice move and Hanju just sent it out, just one of the best blocks you could ever hope to see. And I sort of thought, Alicia, Han's more mobile than Harry.
Yeah, can I just say that your player of the round was Sarah, my best moment was Sarah, my player of the round was Hans, and your best moment. Yeah. I don't think we've ever done that before. That's okay. Brilliant. All right, quick tips and then we can move on. Bendigo v Adelaide. Bendigo. Go Bendigo at home. Yep, you agree. Flames, Townsville, we don't have to talk about. We've already said that. I think the Caps get Geelong at home.
I think they do. Yep.
Southside versus Bendigo. Don't ask me why. I'm waiting for that game to Bendigo go boom because of no Tolo, and I think that might be it.
Yeah, because they do have – Southside does have Kayla George in the middle, so that's a big weapon for them.
So I'm going Southside just – I don't even know if you can call it an upset with no Tolo, but it still is an upset. They're on top of the ladder. Okay, you agree? Adelaide home Perth. Versus Perth. Perth win that.
I've got to go to that. That's going to be packed.
Yeah,
that's
going
to be absolutely packed out to see Hanju in person. I've got Townsville to beat Sydney a second time round and Perth to beat Canberra in the last.
Can I just ask, do you think Townsville will beat Sydney more than what the Australian openers will get in their run chase?
That is so cruel. That is so cruel. You are a Flames man too. Yeah, that is cruel.
Oh, come on. It is what it is. Perth at home versus the Caps. Yeah, I'm not going against Perth at the moment. That is the WNBL. Thank you, Botton. Let's move to the NBL. And there was some amazing games this round. Like you said, we had double overtimes. And mind you, Melbourne United losing both. We've had some big shots, games that are trying to win it. We got ejections. We got absolutely everything in this round. But I'm going to give you my top six, and then you can go your top six. Okay. I have Adelaide at number one. Yes, they are better than Melbourne. They've beaten them. They're winning, and I'm for them. Melbourne at two. I'm going to be honest and say I nearly put Sydney at three after two fantastic wins, but I'm still going Southeast. Nodding. No one can see it. Don't worry. Move on. Southside, stay at three for me because I think they've done enough. Sydney at four.
Hang on,
I've got Perth at five.
There is no Southside in the NBL. Who do you mean? Southeast Melbourne.
Southeast Melbourne. And then I've got Perth at five. Oh, I'm struggling New Zealand, Tasmania, but I'm going with New Zealand at the moment. I worry Tasmania's health. That's why I'm staying New Zealand in the six. Who you got?
Well, you see, I've liked New Zealand since the preseason, but I don't trust them. That's the thing. I don't trust them to put together two, three, four games in a row, which is what they need to do to actually establish themselves as somebody in the postseason.
Okay.
So mine is Adelaide, Melbourne, Southeast Melbourne, and then I've got Tasmania in there. As long as they keep Will Magnay healthy, they're fine. And then I've got Sydney and Perth as the six. Illawarra, New Zealand, Cairns, Brisbane, they're out.
Yeah, I can't. I don't disagree with that. And one of the things I try and do, and I did this at the beginning of the season, who are the four teams that are not going to make it rather than who are the six that are?
Yes.
And I think we can easily say Cairns and Brisbane. See you later. I was waiting for Illawarra a little bit like Geelong in the women. Like, come on, they're going to do it. But no, I don't trust that as well. New Zealand, I do, but Tassie, when they're good, they're good. But you've even said it before as well. There's one guy that just has to stay healthy. If they get Magnay every game, I agree with you, they make the six.
Yeah, and they'd be a scary opponent in the six if they're
healthy. Oh, you wouldn't want to face them. No, you don't want to face them. No,
I completely agree. He's so critical to them. There's not another player. Even if you look at Adelaide and you say, what if you take Bryce Cotton out? Are Adelaide still a threat for the championship? The answer is yes. Yeah. They showed that in the overtime when he fouled out against Melbourne, and then you know they comfortably put Melbourne away. So like anywhere else you go, you can take out a player and go, they'll still be in it. Same with Melbourne, you can take someone out. All right, Chris Gordon, he missed the early part of the season. Say he got injured again, you take him out, they're still going to be around the mark. That's the difference with Tasmania. You take Magnay out, they're stuffed.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, I can't argue with that. Let's just stay on Tasmania for a second because I feel it's certainly fair enough. Like for them to be able to get the two wins that they got, I agree. They probably should have pumped Cairns further, but Cairns were just I don't want to, like, that's ridiculous. Tasmania had to play as well as Cairns allowed them because they were that bad, Cairns. But I do want to talk about that South East Melbourne game. That was a big win on that Wednesday night Ignite Cup. And I thought Bryce Hamilton was great with 18, but Josh Bannon with 12 and 12, Magnay with 12 and 7, 8 free throws, mind you. I thought they played really well, Tasmania.
Six guys in double figures.
Yeah.
That's what makes them dangerous. Six guys in double figures. And that was before David Johnson found his shot, which he did late in the game against Cairns. He's back to what we saw in the preseason, where he struggled a bit. I wouldn't get too fussed if I was a Phoenix fan at losing that game, because it was they had to play that as they played the game against New Zealand without Owen Foxwell, without Malik Lewis. And those are two starters.
But you know what? I just want to bring something up. That's been a number of games now. Now, I'm thinking, you know, one or two or something. I don't know what's, like, guys seem to be having a lot of games off. Is that three or four games now? That seems a lot to me for smaller injuries of what we've been told.
Well, that's it, what we've been told are the key words in that sentence, Brad. That clubs aren't always forthcoming because, you know, if someone's got a rib injury, you really don't want to be putting that out there, because the next game that person plays, someone defending him is going to whack him in the ribs.
Yeah.
So you know, I can understand clubs playing it close to their chest in some of these instances. But, yeah, I'd like to see Owen Foxwell and Malik Lewis back on the court sooner than later.
Yeah, I mean, you know, from what I understand, it was like a thigh or a leg injury. Anyway, whatever it is, it is. But let's, we're just going to briefly touch it. Illawarra did enough to beat Brisbane. Dakota Matthias, one of the most unbelievable injuries I've seen, and I was there. He sort of went to catch a ball, walked straight off the court, did not come back on. Now, I was commentating on there. I was near the Brisbane bench. I asked them what was going on, and they just said it's a shoulder injury and we're evaluating it. Well, it is a shoulder injury. They've evaluated, and he's gone for 8 weeks. And it was just like, as someone who's had two shoulder reconstructions, it obviously just got put into that weak point, and that's what happened with me, where it just goes bang, mine dislocated and went back in, right? But it just got to that, and something is obviously majorly wrong there, and here they go, Brisbane have walked under another ladder.
They can't take a trip.
Nah.
You know, I don't feel sorry for Stu Lash. I'm sorry, I don't feel sorry for him. But I do feel sorry for their predicament, given that what they've done with injuries, with Mitch Norton, with Sam McDaniel, with just the imports. I mean, they can't even bring Lamar Patterson back. He's out hurt.
He's on a hamstring.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just, I feel sorry for that predicament, but I don't feel sorry for Stu Lash. This is what you bought into.
Yeah.
You know, this is what you wanted. Yep. You got it. I mean, who's your strength and conditioning guys? Who's the buck stops?
Man, I'm glad. You know, I know. You know, I've said stuff as well, and the commentary team are starting to say it as well. I'm questioning what all these strength and conditioning guys are doing, mate, because I don't see it.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. I'm starting to. Anyway, Illawarra did enough. I thought JaVale McGee again, 30 and 10. He was great. Interesting one. Not one offensive rebound in those 10 rebounds.
Yeah.
I mean, not when I say interesting, I just found that, you know, quite intriguing, I guess.
Interesting stat, yeah, no question.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the game of the round, was it? Maybe. I don't know. Adelaide versus Melbourne. Oh, my God. Now, the first thing I want to say, let's set the scene. Beautiful, blah, blah. Everything's fine. Melbourne has the ball. You are running a play. Body, you are a coach. You've been there. You've done it. Are you going to Milton Doyle? Or are you going to CG43?
Milton Doyle is one of nine for the game from 3 points. So if we're going for a 3-point, I'm not going for him. I think probably, I don't know what Chris Goulding was, probably none. But the thing with Goulding and also with Milton is generally down the stretch when you need the big shot, they'll come up with it.
Mm.
I think Milton took far too many shots, made some bad decisions in end of regulation and overtime in both losses, losses. I'm not saying it's his fault that they lost, but I thought they chose bad options. One of the things I admire about Melbourne and Sydney to an extent is that they, when they need to, they will execute an offense and they'll get a good open shot for somebody.
Yep.
But towards the end of that game, it was all Kendrick Davis 1-on-5, Milton Doyle 1-on-5. That's not how you win a championship.
It's beyond ridiculous. I'm going to throw a stat at you, 17%. Now, what do you think that is? What is it?
That's my holiday loading.
What do you think it is?
I don't know, what, 3-point shooting?
3-point shooting combined for the weekend for Melbourne, 10 of 58.
God almighty.
9 of 30 in game against Adelaide.
Yep.
1 of 28 against Sydney.
Yeah, ridiculous.
I mean, that, I'm like Melbourne United.
It's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. The amount of great three-point shooters that team has, from Chris Golding to Tanner.
The only guy that made one was Milton Doyle at 1 of 9.
1 of 9, yeah.
And Chris Golding, 0 of 8.
Yes.
I mean, even Tanner Krebs, 0 of 3.
Yeah, yeah. It was mind-numbing, but what I didn't see was them execute as a team to get the best shot.
Agreed.
You know, there was a lot of that one-on-everybody stuff. And
I never thought I'd say this, but Chris Golding is down to 31% from the three-point line this year. I never thought, like, usually, you know, as a career, he's close to 38.
Yeah, the couple that he took at the end there were really rushed and hasty shots, and he was covered.
What about the one that he took was an air ball? I don't think that was a block.
Mm.
I think that was against Sydney, if I'm not mistaken, late in the fourth. Two mind-boggling games from Melbourne. Look, I'm not worried about Melbourne. They go through this every year. But it was just something that I thought was amazing. Let's talk very briefly about the Kings. Two great wins.
Hang on, quick question without notice. If Melbourne don't make it to the grand final, is that a major fail for Dean, for Chris Golding,
unfortunately for Melbourne? Yes, it is. It is. But you can say that about a couple of teams, buddy. I'd say if you can say that about the Kings, you could say that about Adelaide.
No,
right now.
I don't believe that. I've said every time we've been on this program all year, I've said they are overrated. They are.
Yeah, but hang on,
good
by
team.
Who? They're not by you, no, but not no, by everyone else.
Guys. No, by you guys, by Derek Rucker, by Damon Lowry, by everybody that does commentary. You think there's this super duper team?
But do you think if Adelaide don't make the grand final, is that an underachieve?
Absolutely, it is.
Why?
Because they've got the talent, they've got the depth,
and you don't
coverage
think the Kings have the talent and the depth?
I don't think that they're. I don't. Yes, but their players aren't as reliable or as consistent. You know, you don't know from week to week what you'll get from Bull
Paul.
Fair call. The best.
Yeah,
of
but
Bull
hang
Paul,
on. But sorry, I'm going to count you on this. We don't know what we're going to get, and I completely agree. But did we know that at the beginning of the season? When I sit here at the beginning of the season and think we're getting Kendrick, you're going to go with Delly, you're going to go with Cookie, you're going to go with Bull Paul, although there was question marks there. Quatnoy coming off his best season. They've bought back Suarez. You're thinking to yourself, well, hang on a sec, Jalen Galloway. Like, this team is good enough to make the grand final. In my opinion, they were the top three teams of recruiting. Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. See, the thing about Delly is you look at Delly and you see in your mind when they sign him, you're picturing the best version of Delly.
Yeah, I
agree
with that.
You're seeing him guarding Steph Curry and you're going, wow, we've got that guy. But you haven't got that guy.
Yeah,
you've got a guy that's 10 years older than that.
Yeah, no, totally. I totally respect that comment. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Okay. All right, let's continue on here. We've spoken about the Kings. Let's talk Perth. Right. So Perth played really poor against the Kings. Right. Yeah. Let's just, you know, at halftime, that's a 2-point game. They get beaten 64-37 in the second half. I mean, body, that's ridiculous.
That's the Kings. That's the Kings that we want to see.
Yeah.
That's not the Perth we want to see. Perth had played, as we discussed last week, 7 great quarters in a row. They took out Melbourne. Mm. They had Adelaide on the rope by 18 at three-quarter time.
Mm.
Lost that game. Should not have dropped their bundle. But, boy, did they drop their bundle. And Sydney was just well prepared. As I said earlier in the show, they've now beaten Perth in Perth, Adelaide in Adelaide, Melbourne in Melbourne. You can't do much better than that.
Where do you
they
rate
haven't beaten
Perth
Tasmania.
Where do you rate Perth? I know you've got them at 5 and 6 or whatever, but where do you see them?
A semi-finalist once Jaron really comes back.
See, I think that's a lot to put on a young guard of Jaron. I know he's good. I don't know where. I mean, I know it's funny to say this about his dad. I don't know where he fits everyone in, buddy. Now, we know John really is one of those guys that'll go, you can sit and I don't give a shit who you are, right? I just don't know. What's he going to take out? Duke Jr.? Like who else? Like Ben Henshaw? Pepper? Someone's got
Elijah Pepper. Elijah Pepper will be the one who suffers, and Ben Henshaw should be the one who suffers, because Ben Henshaw is an okay player who thinks he's NBA quality, and he might be in another 3 years' time, but he's not anywhere
Henshaw
near where
he thinks
he is. Henshaw
only played 15 minutes, buddy.
Yeah, he's got to play five.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. All right, well, look, while we're going through this, why don't you give me your, let's go player of the round, please.
I think my player of the round was Sydney's 5 minutes against Melbourne United in the overtime. Right. They went into overtime 84 apiece. The yep. final result was yep. 92 to 86. They held United to 2 points in 5 minutes of basketball. I'll give that's my play. What's yours?
But that was your best moment?
That was my best moment, yeah.
Sorry, okay. So best moment, mine, and I can't believe I'm saying this, not an absolute fan of the way he does things, but my best moment is watching Bull Quoll take two superstars of our league out of the game and out mentally. What he did to Christian Doolittle and Chris Golding over two games was pretty phenomenal. Now, whether he's holding and grabbing, and he is, there's no question he's holding and grabbing. He gets away with it. But the fact that you watch Christian Doolittle shake his head at one stage, and then you watch Chris Golding like arguing with him, he completely took both of those players out of the game, and they both played. I mean, Doolittle had 5 points for the game. Chris Golding, we know what happened. I don't think we'll see that again from those two. I think they'll learn from it. But that is a fantastic effort. Whether you like him or not, what an outstanding moment for Bull Quoll. Who's your player of the round?
I think we're going to both agree on this. Kendrick Davis. He's got 38 and 26. So that's, what's the average, 32 or something for the round.
You can't
and not. Seven assists, averaging seven assists. So, yeah.
Give me your Nodge Nasty.
My nice nasty is I don't know who's responsible for deciding what colour uniforms teams wear, but when you've got Sydney Kings wearing a dark purple uniform against Melbourne United, who are wearing their navy uniform or black, you can barely make them set them apart. Like, that's just terrible organisation by I don't know who, the league, the broadcaster, the clubs. I don't know who's responsible.
This is something I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure because the Kings, I can only use the Kings at the moment because Melbourne weren't, but the Kings were wearing these Space Jam singlets or whatever. I don't think they make home and away for that. I think they only make one. Like, so whatever colour, they were the dark colour, I remember, right? I can't remember exactly what colour it was.
Well, then it forced to Melbourne to be wearing their light. The contrast was not good enough. I think we should have evolved beyond that by now.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Give me your Rattler.
Well, before I do this, do you think there's any rumour that Trevor Gleeson would be returning to the NBL? Because I believe there's some rumours going around. Maybe next year, he said.
Well, I think Brisbane will be looking for a coach.
Yeah, I was going to say, wouldn't Brisbane be throwing everything at him? Mm. Did you want to know my player?
Rosen Rattler.
My Rosen Rattler is Melbourne. Now, I've said it already. Guys, you cannot be going 10 of 50, whatever they went from, like, enough. You can't, one of 28 from the three-point line, enough's enough. Like, come on, I don't like it. I don't like that they're not running plays. It's all this one-out stuff. I'm okay when you got guys that, one-on-one and go left and go right when you're in form. If not, you've got to go back to old basketball. And that's setting screens. I'm actually tired of watching them, and they're not the only ones that do it. No one sets screens now. It's all this touch and move and flare and, they don't physically set hard picks. But when they do, they get scores out of it. Very frustrating to watch, buddy.
I've got to say, though, also, in addition to what you just said, a lot of guys, when they set a screen and someone bounces off it, they get a foul for it. Yeah. And I think that's crap. I think the umpiring has been very ordinary. Let's just leave it at that and say goodbye for today.
Can I get real quick tips? Sydney versus Adelaide.
Right. Okay, here we go. Sydney to beat the 36ers only because Nick Rakosovich isn't playing.
Yep, okay.
He's suspended for Belton Findlaney. United to beat the Hawks. Cairns to beat New Zealand. Cairns to beat New Zealand, Hawks 36ers, Perth South East Melbourne. I skipped that one because I can't make up my mind.
Nah, Perth to win at home against the Phoenix, Cairns to lose against New Zealand, Illawarra to lose against Adelaide, Southside beating Brisbane.
Stop saying Southside, that's the women's team.
I did it again. Sorry, yeah, South East Melbourne.
You're confusing the two segments.
I think Tasmania win at home against Perth.
Me too.
Yep.
I think the Sydney Cairns loses to the Kings.
Hey, last time Sydney played Cairns in Sydney, Cairns won.
Yeah, okay. That was last time. Yeah. But here we go. We've got Brisbane, New Zealand. That'll be the result that nobody in the NBL cares about.
Except New Zealand, they'll win. Melbourne
United
versus Tasmania.
Jeez.
Oh, mate, toss a coin with that one. Now, you know what? I'm going Dean Vickerman enough. Like, he'll get this right. I'll go Melbourne for a win on that one.
All right. I will go Tasmania because I think Melbourne will get the other one against the Hawks. You know, this round they played the last two teams they played off for championships. They play Illawarra and Tasmania. It's a pretty rough round.
Well, not the way Illawarra is playing at the moment. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy the weekend. It's got some beautiful basketball, men and women. We're loving it. Thank you. Make sure you check us out on socials. Bot on, my friend. I got the friend out.
There you go.
Love you so much, brother. Take it easy. Have a good week.
You too, Brad. See you, mate. Hey, Brad, during the call there, you said that you pulled a random figure out, said 10 of 58 threes. Well, wasn't that your career, 10 of 58 threes?
I reckon I made more than 10, but I reckon that was the maximum minutes I played.
And that was in the 48-minute game era too.